Hey everyone, Chris Lopez here, and before we jump into today's episode, I want to give you a quick reminder that we are about 1 week away from the annual Denver Real Estate Investor Success Summit. That's happening on Saturday, October 12th, 2019. So go to denverISS.com. Again, that's denverISS.com for details and to go purchase a ticket. It's $19 for an all-day event with about 8 speakers there, and topics range from raising private money to doing flips to funding foreclosures, doing long-term planning to build your real estate portfolio. So it's a very diverse topic, lots of great stuff to come learn from, but then a great event afterwards, which is the networking event, where that $19 ticket actually includes a free beer or free drink at the event. That's just a block or two away to come hang out. So it's a great place to come learn and then network during the sessions and definitely come network after the sessions. So I'll be there. If you're coming, make sure you shoot me an email or definitely come say hi to me while you're there. Again, the website is denverISS.com.
You're listening to the Denver Real Estate Investing Podcast, where it's all about helping you grow your Denver real estate portfolio. Here's your host, Chris Lopez.
Hey everyone, Chris Lopez here, and welcome back to another episode. So today's going to be a little bit different than what I normally cover on the podcast, because for listeners out there, you know me, I like to really dive into the financials, the nuts and bolts, and that's just what I tend to gravitate towards. But as everyone out there knows, that is one piece to the pie of building a successful real estate investing plan or also building any type of business or real estate business as well. So my guest today in the studio is Stephen Pesavento, and he is an investor and also an entrepreneur. And the first 2 years of running his real estate business, he flipped about 150 houses. So he lives here in Denver, but he manages his team remotely, and they work out of the Southeast and Midwest. And we're going to talk about how he's built his business, what type of numbers he sees there. But he's also the host of the Investor Mindset podcast and community, which really focuses on personal development and the mindset on what it takes to have success. So I'll dive into mindset since that's his passion as well. So Stephen, welcome to the show.
Really glad to be here. Excited to be here, buddy.
Yeah. So jumping in this before we get into mindset, how did you build two teams remotely and go out there and flip 150 houses?
Yeah. So, well, I did it by modeling other people, right?
It's a good plan.
Yeah. I went and found some people who were kicking butt and already doing what I wanted to do. And I found a way to be close to them. I found a way to learn all of their secrets, which aren't really secrets, all the things that really are behind running their business. And, you know, I got into a place where they were willing to share, you know, everything because there was no competition. There was no worry. And yeah, we ended up blowing up and we're just about to hit 200 properties that we bought and sold. And, you know, some of those 200 properties are wholesales as well. We also wholesale. That helps keep the operation going. But for those first 2 years, we were flipping quite a few houses.
Okay. So most of that business is are you selling turnkey rentals to out-of-state investors or are you just primarily wholesaling and flipping for your own benefit?
Just wholesaling and flipping for our benefit. No turnkey. We are in the markets of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Raleigh, North Carolina. And now we've entered Greensboro and the Triad as well. But those are markets where turnkey doesn't really work. The numbers just don't really match up like they might in a Memphis. I think it's possible to do it in some of those areas. But, you know, we're talking about $300,000 to $500,000 houses for the most part, you know, purchase at, you know, 150, sell at 280, depending on the kind of renovations that are going on. That's kind of right where those numbers come in.
Diving into how you got close to those people, because I agree with that strategy. It is, I think, the best way to go out there and build a business and learn from people with more experience and smarter than you. How'd you do it?
Yeah. So I guess I'll take even one step back before that. I was just like so many other people. I had read Rich Dad, Poor Dad when I was 17. I had really wanted to get into real estate. I saw it as a means to being able to really take my life to the next level. You know, I grew up in a family where we had a lot of love, but we didn't have a lot of money, and there was a lot of instability within our household. And I knew that I had to have a better life than that, that I wanted to create something that was much more. And, you know, so some mentors along the way were Tim Ferriss and Tony Robbins, reading some of those books. But something always held me back from getting into the real estate game. Like, there was always this limiting belief that I don't have enough money, I don't have enough experience, I don't have enough, whatever you want to call it. All of the things ended up, you know, stopping me from jumping in and doing it. And then about 2.5, almost 3 years ago, I had this realization. I had this big clarifying moment where it was like, okay, this is something I must do. And I made a decision and I just went for it. And so the way that I ended up getting close to some of these people was I went to my first real estate investor meetup event. And at the time I was living in Southern California, and that's where I started this company. And I ended up, one of the speakers was an experienced fix and flipper, and she had a ton of deals that she had done in her lifetime. And she had, you know, she had learned the ways of what worked and what didn't in the area. And so I approached her with, you know, an offer. Really, I went to the event. I had researched her. I knew she was speaking. I went in with an intent. I wanted to be surrounded by other people. That's why I went to the event. But I wanted to be close to somebody who was killing it and already doing it so that I could start learning the lingo and learning those things. And, you know, I approached her and went up to her and waited till everyone else was done talking to her. And then I made my pitch, my offer. Hey, I'll build you a $10,000 to $15,000 website if you allow me, if you give me the opportunity to just follow you around. I don't expect a lot. Just, you know, let me show up to the job site. Talk to me a little bit about what you're doing. And before I could even finish the offer, you know, her hand was out ready to accept it. And so it was pretty cool because, you know, I went in there not really knowing whether it was going to work. But, you know, over the next 3 or 4 months, I ended up seeing a flip, you know, from start to finish to sold. And that was really what got me going. And it also gave me the confidence to have the conversations with other investors at meetups and events because I could use the language. They could see that I was really going after it, that where I started from on day one was different than 3 or 4 months into it. And from there, you know, I just kept applying that same technique to other people.
And I really like that because that's similar to how I've been able to get close to a lot of very successful people I've turned to mentors for me over the years. And that is, you did a lot more than just say, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee to pick your brain?
Yeah.
And, you know, most people, that they don't want to do that because they're busy. Like, okay, well, what the heck do you want to talk to me about? Mm-hmm. But you went in there, you did your research, you had a plan, and you sounds like you gave a lot of value and you got a lot of value back. Mm-hmm. So is that just a thing you just figured out on your own, or what allowed you to figure that out? Because you're only a handful of people I've spoken to that have said that in that manner and actually implemented it.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard to pinpoint exactly where that came from, like the exact genesis of it. But if the thing that comes to mind is from Tony Robbins, right? So he talks about modeling success, that success leaves clues. And it's within all of his content, whether you read a book or you listen to one of his, you know, tapes or seminars or digital, I guess we're in the digital age, we're talking about, you know, recordings now. But at the time, you know, I had got this called Personal Power 2. He keeps referring to it as tapes because it was recorded a long time ago. And, you know, I ended up downloading that and went through it. He kept talking about, you know, find the people that are doing what you want to do and find a way to get close to them. You know, Tim Ferriss talks about the exact same thing. Go in with like a specific ask of how you can help that person. And that person's going to, they're going to want to help you if the ask matches what they want. Because, you know, when somebody comes to me and they say, hey, Steven, I want to grab a coffee. Now, believe me, I want to grab coffee with everybody. I'd love to grab lunch with everybody. I'd love to hear everyone's story, but I frankly don't have enough time. And when all of a sudden I decide to open up the door and start accepting those invites, all of a sudden my work productivity goes way down. And so it's like finding this balance between being able to connect with people, but being able to add value so that they want to spend time with you. They want to help teach you the way because you're giving them way more than they, you know, would even ask for.
So has anyone successfully come to you with a value proposition or a value proposition like what you have done with people?
Yeah, it's really cool. I've actually been coaching a number of folks that have come to me after I spoke on the Bigger Pockets podcast, I think episode 309. And I talked about a similar kind of methodology. And, you know, a number of folks did reach out to me and they just asked for my time and they didn't get responses. And the people who actually took my advice, you know, they came to me with a specific offer. You know, maybe the offer didn't work. Maybe it wasn't actually what I wanted. You know, I appreciate them making the effort. But 3 or 4 people I actually have doing work actively for me, and I am helping them get their first deal done. You know, one person in particular out of North Carolina happens to be in a non-competitive market. Even if he was in the same area, I'd probably still help him. But he came to me and he said, hey, I am really good at SEO. I took a look at your website. I noticed that you're not ranking in some of these areas where you could be and that you're missing some of the key technical pieces. And I'm just kind of getting started. And I was hoping that you might be able to help me. And through a number of calls, and I have a no-nonsense attitude about holding people accountable. So, you know, within about 3 months or less, it was probably about two, he had actually closed his first wholesale deal. And, you know, he made $4,500. If he would have taken my advice, he would have made a little bit more. But at the end of the day, he traded me something that cost him nothing. It was just a little bit of time. At the end of it, he ended up making money. But more importantly, he had the confidence to go out and do it. And now he's doing it actively over and over again.
That's great. And that is a, I think, a great message that a lot of people should rewind and listen to, because it's a great way to go out there and meet some amazing people and develop relationships, partnerships, whatever you want to call them. So going forward, as you've met these great people, what other aspects of personal development mindset have allowed you to go out there and build your businesses?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, there's a ton that goes into it. I'm a big believer in modeling others, which is the one concept we're talking about right now. But I think the other one is getting really clear, getting hardcore clarity on what it is exactly that you're doing and why you want to be doing it. So if you get that kind of clarity, you can, you know, buy and flip 150 properties in 2 years or 200 in 2.5 years. But the only way you can do that is if you know exactly why you're doing it and you focus in on what that purpose is. So for me, that process was, you know, essentially a goals planning exercise where, in short, I understood what are all the things that I want out of life. Why are these things important to me? The purpose. So I've got the what, I've got the why, and I make them emotional. You get to this point where you see something with such clarity that it's going to happen, and you actually feel the opposite of it happening. You go to the place where it's extremely dark and it's not happy and you feel bad and you've let down your family or your friends, and you make that so real that you end up creating a level of pain if you don't do it. And so what ends up happening is you build this little motivation machine with inside yourself, because one, you know exactly what you want to do. Two, you know why you want to do it. And three, you know what it's going to feel like if you don't do it, because most people are much more willing to avoid pain than go after something that's pleasurable or go after their goals. So if you can make it so it's so real, as if that thing that you really want to have happen is there, and then have that feeling of letting it go.
So is this a technique that, a technique that you developed, or did you read this from a book or learn from someone else?
Absolutely not. So everything that I know, I'm a big believer that I probably don't have very many original thoughts. Maybe I do somewhere in there, but you know, that could be a limiting belief, to be honest, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I learned this from other mentors, right? So like I mentioned, Tim Ferriss, like I mentioned, Tony Robbins, but frankly, like my goal at the end of the day is to never stop learning. So I read, you know, 25 to 30 books a year, sometimes more than that, sometimes less. It depends on if I'm in masterminds, if I'm doing online training. You know, every day I spend 45 minutes of my day on specific skills training, understanding what is the skill that I need for myself to get to the next level. And so at the time, you know, back when I was first getting started, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, well before the real estate thing, I started learning how do I get this level of clarity? Because if you know exactly why you're going to go after something, it's much easier to actually accomplish it. I think so many people that want to get into real estate, they have this little thought that I might be able to have some freedom. I might be able to, you know, not have to work. But what is it really behind that you care about? It's probably that you want to make sure your kids have a better life than you did. It's probably that you want to, you know, give your wife or your husband the life that they deserve. It's that you want to be able to spend time and not look back on your life and have regrets. But if you're not clear on that, as soon as you run into a little bit of a challenge, you're going to quit. And that's why, frankly, a lot of people fail. And when you go to a lot of real estate investor events, you meet a lot of people who've been going for a long time, but they haven't done anything. And they're no different than me. The only difference is that they haven't gotten clear on what they want to do and why they want to do it, to a point where it's a no-brainer. It's going to happen. It's already done.
So this always brings up an interesting topic I want to discuss with you, because, you know, I've never been a big mindset person. Like, I know I do a lot of stuff right. I read couple of personal development books here and there. But I've always been much more like tactical, like, mm-hmm. hey, tell me what I need to do. What's the plan? How do mm-hmm. I get from A to Z? Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, ABC. Mm-hmm. And I've learned almost everything I needed to from spending tons of time on Google mm-hmm. and talking to people, picking out, hey, I want to find out, I want to get to know this person, just download their brain into mine and yeah. do like a Vulcan mind meld into me. What distinction do you see there? Because it's not like a right or wrong. I've had this interesting discussion with a lot of like people over the years.
Yeah.
I'm always intrigued by it. What are your thoughts on that versus like the tactical actions sure. versus the big why clarity?
So I think each of them have their place. I wouldn't only focus on my why and what my purpose is, because if I don't actually take any massive action, then, well, you don't have anything. Right. So if I would have been clear on my why and I would know exactly what I need to do in order to get there, the how, but I didn't do it, then I wouldn't be sitting in front of you in the studio right now talking to you about the success that I've been able to achieve or how I was able to get there. So I think that there's so many different pieces that end up having to plug in. But the fact that you're focusing on, hey, this is a subject that I want to learn and I'm going to be obsessed about downloading all the information, I would suggest that is some personal growth right there. You're looking to grow within a specific area on a specific skill set. And a lot of people are allergic to the idea of personal growth or personal development because, you know, frankly, some of the people out there are pretty annoying about it. And even some of my favorite mentors and teachers, when you hear them talk and you haven't been listening to this stuff for a while, you're like, this seems kind of rah-rah. What do you mean we're kindred spirits and you're my friend and you feel like you're connected to me and you never met me? Some people want something that's feels more real because that doesn't always feel real to them. But I think at the end of the day, personal growth is just having the mind or the idea that you could live a little bit better life tomorrow than you did today. And I think that's why so many real estate investors end up being so interested in that because they're so driven. They're such achievers and, you know, they want to achieve on the financial side for their family. They want to have the lifestyle they want, but they know that in order to get there, they need the foundation. They need this foundation layer of knowing that they're going to be in a strong place, that they're going to be adaptable, that they're going to be able to deal with challenges or failures, and that they're going to keep getting up and keep going. And so whether you label it personal development, personal growth, mindset, or any kind of learning in between, at the end of the day, really all it's about is just this idea that, you know, you can be better and things can be better and that you can enjoy the now. But, you know, why don't you pick up a book and take a quick read?
So the reason I bring this up is, and I agree with a lot of it's just, it's the same thing. We're labeling things differently.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But early on, I mean, this was 15, 16 years ago now at this point, as I was getting into businesses and learning stuff and growing myself, you know, I did my round of, you know, a couple seminars of personal development seminars and learning things. And I never paid like the big $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 ticket items. I spent a couple hundred dollars and I got what I needed to move me on. A lot of times I did not is because I met so many people that had, you know, the most amazing whys and the most amazing, what do you call them? The dream boards, you know, they cut out the magazines, print out the stuff, post it up there. But they were $30,000 in credit card debt from level 5 of the seminar where they went there and they were so motivated and so clear, but now they're broke to do anything.
Yeah.
And that always, maybe that slanted my view on this stuff where I said, cool, like I get that. But while you were doing that, I spent that $20,000 in Google AdWords and made $80,000.
Sure.
And I don't have a dream board. I have a clear vision.
Yeah.
And so perhaps that, you know, that jaded me a little bit. I don't mean in a bad way, but just I noticed as, well, I want to make sure I spend my money on like to get a, you know, get a direct ROI. And for a lot of times those conferences, I have a hard time not seeing that direct ROI. So with that said, and you said the phrase massive action, which I agree with, I think end of the day, action cures everything.
Yeah.
How do you get someone with the very, very clear why, the great vision, to get out of the lazy boy, to take the massive action? Because that was always the domino I couldn't get to trip for a lot of people.
Let me ask you a question, right? So when you're looking at these, you went to an event and you learned some things from it. And why do you do all of this stuff that you do? Why are you a broker? Why do you spend time on the podcast? Why, what, what drives you at the end of the day? Like, what is it? What is it that you're here for? What are you doing this for?
Well, I became a broker for three reasons. It was to network. Mm-hmm. It was to, I need a new business to make money. Mm-hmm. And it was to learn real estate. Absolutely. So I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
Probably about 10 years before you did, back when I was 21 or 20 years old. I was like, oh, cool. Real estate business. That's the way to go.
Absolutely.
I was like, you know what? I'm not in position to do real estate. So I did online marketing back then.
Yep.
And I said, I'll loop back around to real estate one day.
So let me interrupt you. So why is it important for you to make money?
Well, it's for my end goals to be able to live a certain lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. And what does that lifestyle look like?
Just so I can do the things I want to do.
And what are some of those things?
It's so I don't have to have a boss
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. I like being an entrepreneur. I like doing my own thing. I want to mm-hmm. live and die by my own sword
mm-hmm.
or by my own, you know, sword's the right word, but I want to live and die by my results or lack of results.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just to provide a certain standard of living for my lifestyle. And I don't need a Ferrari. I don't need a private jet. I don't need an 8,000 square foot house up in the mountains. I just need, cool, I got my basics covered. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes so much sense. I feel like so many people can relate to that. But you know, when you're looking at, this is the money that I need to make so that I can live the life that I want to live, you're clear on this. You've already got the clear purpose. Behind that, you've got the clear purpose. You're being driven to go out and do these things. You're just not using the same language and you're maybe not being as conscious about it, but somewhere along the line, you decided, I'm going to go after these things because I want to live a life that's worth living. Because you could just chill out. You don't have to sell a ton of real estate. You don't have to spend your time doing these things. But underneath the surface, there's a reason that you're driven. There's a reason that you care about what your family thinks. You care about what your kids think. You care about the kind of life that you're going to create for your kids. And below that, that's the purpose. That's the reason why you're doing all those things. And so to answer your question about how somebody, if they have the clear why, if they have their clear what, and they have their clear how they can get to a point of taking massive action. I mean, they have to decide. So all those people who spent a bunch of money on training and they didn't get anything from it, they decided to not get anything. They decided that they're going to take out their credit card and they're going to swipe it. And they're going to go and do whatever course that might be, because there's a ton of them in real estate and there's a ton of them in pretty much every field. And they thought, okay, well, if I just spend the money, then I'm going to have all the things that they promised me. But they missed a really clear point where they were going to be committed to doing that. They have to commit that this is actually something they're going to do and that no matter if they keep failing, that they're going to keep going after, because I'm sure, you know, you're a successful guy. You've probably ran into failures along the way. You've probably lost money. You probably made some poor decisions, but you keep doing it. You keep going because you know, you have a faith below the surface that says, if I do these things, I'm going to end up being able to have the life that I care about, the life that I want to live. I'm going to have the freedom, which is so many people in our industry's end goal. And what that freedom does for you is what your purpose is. You know, it's being able to provide for a family and have them live a better life than you did.
So I agree with you about failing, because one of my personal mottos, and maybe this is part of the, I guess this is mindset, is I stole it from someone, but it's just to fail forward.
Yeah.
I'm always like, hey, if I fail quicker and more often than you, I'll probably reach the gold mine, the metaphorical gold mine, quicker than you or anyone else. And that's something I'm not afraid to do. It's like, I will fail my butt off to get to the end result.
That's
perhaps mindset.
That's exactly it. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of people are allergic to the terminology. A lot of people are allergic to the community because they have some preconceived notion that it's not for them. It's part of their identity that this is something that is just not, it's not for them. But at the end of the day, mindset is just the way that people think. Right.
Yeah.
You can have a bad mindset. You can have a negative mindset. You can have a fear mindset. You can have any of these things that are going to hold you back. But what I found from interviewing some of the most successful investors through my podcast, The Investor Mindset, you know, we're not that different from any of these people. A lot of the folks, you know, they're not the smartest. They didn't grow up with money. They didn't grow up with any of these things. And frankly, a lot of them probably, you know, aren't going to personal development seminars. They're probably not investing, you know, directly in some personal one-to-one coaching on the personal development front. But below the surface, they have gotten clear on how they need to think about failure, how they need to think about success, how they need to think about money. And they've created this motivation to go out and do it. And it's so cool when you hear that and you start listening to some of these interviews, because, you know, it just makes you realize that if they can do it, I can do it. And I remember I was at an event in Southern California. It was before I had really launched the company. I had, you know, failed a ton of times at sending direct mail. I had sent 3,000 letters, spent, you know, my last $1,500 outside of rent money. And I got 12 phone calls and I was like, this sucks. I keep making offers on the MLS. I made, you know, 80 offers in 6 weeks on the MLS. I got two of them accepted and they were crap deals. That's why they got accepted, is because they were awful properties. But I remember I went to this event and I saw this person. And I think this is one of the big takeaways, is just go out and find people who are doing what you want to do. And you could think that they're not the smartest person. You could think that they're a total idiot. But if you're like, if they can do it, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the reason why I'm sitting here today and was able to do that, because I went out and I found some people and I looked at them and I was like, well, man, if this guy can do this, there's no way in hell I'm going to not be able to do it.
Oh, I've had that same thought. I'm like, if that four-letter word person's on stage, I can do that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty blown in my mind when I say those things. So I want to kind of loop back around, because I really like some of the bullet points or headlines you're saying here as you've gone through. So getting clarity on your goals or your why. You've talked about modeling others. You've talked about providing value to build strategic relationships and massive action. What are some other key points that you focus on or that have helped you get to the success you're at right now?
I think it's not as much about having like a big list, but it's just about, you know, making that decision and going after it, right? At the end of the day, you could know every single technique in personal development, how to strengthen your mind and how to, you know, have the right affirmations and how to have the right health and how to eat the right way and how to, you know, work out the right way. But at the end of the day, you just got to decide that you're going to do something and you got to do it. Like I couldn't coach somebody if they're not going to actually take action, right?
Yeah.
So like, no matter how much clarity I help them understand, if they're not in it, we can't get them to the point where they're going to succeed and kick butt, right? I can't hold them accountable to something that they're not committed to. And so at the end of the day, I think if I just underline all of this, it's decide what you want to do, get really clear on why you want to do that, make that like a really strong emotional feeling, and then freaking do it and just go out and find a way to make it happen and fail and go into it being like, it's cool. I'm going to lose all my money. But I'm going to learn along the way. Now, do I really want you to lose all your money? No, but I want you to be to the point where you're like, no matter what happens, even if this is a total flunk, I'm going to persist because I have to, because everything that I care about rides on it. And once you're that committed to something, people start noticing. The universe starts kind of going in your direction, whether you believe in that kind of stuff or not. It's like all of a sudden these opportunities just start coming out of the woodwork, because once you're really clear on what you're doing and you let people know, frankly, other people want to help you get there.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because I agree with you. Like, yeah, you got to go out there and fail. You got to go out there and invest money. Because in my very first business I started, which failed, but I got another one that got some traction, and I committed to staying with it for a minimum of 4 years. Mm-hmm. And the reason I said that, or I chose that, because like, hey, I'm in college right now. I'm a sophomore, maybe a junior at the time in college. I'm going to college for 4 years, mm-hmm. making zero money.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to make my money in year five once I actually graduate and go use my piece of paper for a degree. But what type of rules of thumb do you recommend to people on safeguarding? Great, go out there and fail. But the two questions are, when do you say, great, I learned, now it's time to quit? And how much money do you keep set aside that you never ever touch for like your safety net, so you don't get into a bad, bad, bad financial situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that really depends on every single person. Yeah. So I don't really have like a set of rules to say, you know, the way that I look at it, my methodology is like, I'm kind of an all in person. Like if I'm going to do something, I'm going to go all in with everything I have. And when I don't go all in, when I kind of like tiptoe around, when I'm kind of thinking about doing something, but I'm not really there, like things don't happen. Success doesn't just magically happen for me, but I have known a lot of people who aren't burn the boats kind of people. And, you know, they keep their W-2 job and they, you know, start doing a little bit here and a little bit there, kind of on their way towards their goals. And that works for them. But you have to kind of know yourself, like what kind of risk tolerance can you really deal with?
Yeah.
Like I'm okay losing it all. Now I don't want to. I sure in the heck am going to set myself up not to do that. But I know that even if I lost everything that I've created, even if I lost every dime that I have, you can't take away the experience of getting there. Like I know that if I had to start over right now, that I have no problem reaching my current income within 12 months. You know, even if you destroyed my whole business, took away my home, took away all my money. Once you've gotten out of your own way and you learn something, like I know I'm resilient. Like I know that no matter who knocks me down, I'm getting back up. And I didn't know that 10 years ago. I didn't know that when I was a little kid. I mean, there's always a little bit of that within me. But you learn that stuff by going out and trying some things. And I think too many people are afraid of trying.
Yeah. And as you're talking there, I think I'm probably about 10 years older than you. Very similar to what I used to say years ago, where like I did not care. Like, hey, worst case scenario, I lose all my money. I move back with my parents.
Yeah.
I don't give a crap. Then I got married and had a baby.
Totally
and my risk
different.
Tolerance went from like not caring to like, holy moly, I got a little human being surviving on me now. Yeah. So you're exactly right. It all depends on, you know, where you're at in life. But it's very interesting as I look back how much I've changed from like not giving a damn to like becoming so conservative financially.
I mean, if I had a wife and kids, my risk level would change dramatically because now I have something else to care about other than myself, right? So when I know that my actions are only going to affect me and maybe, you know, lightly affect a few other people, I'm going to make different decisions than if I am going to pull the trigger and do something that could like greatly impact people that I strongly care about, you know? So it really depends. But at the end of the day, you know, I hope what you take away from this is not to go out and like go to some seminar or, you know, you got to go pick up the newest personal development book. It's that you have to believe in yourself, right? That you have to decide, you have to go out and take action, and that I'm not special and that Chris is not special and that we're just people and anyone can do what we're doing if you just apply yourself and do it. So go find a mentor, go find somebody who you can learn from and find a way to, you know, put yourself in that room.
That is great advice. Let me ask you a few questions here before we wrap things up, Stephen. So I'm curious, what books are you currently reading right now?
What books am I currently reading? Well, I just got finished reading The Compound Effect.
Okay.
Great book, all about habits, all about understanding how specific habits kind of add up and that those habits, when done repeatedly, they have a compound effect, right? Great book. Really recommend that. The other book I just finished was The Motivation Manifesto by Brendon Burchard. Now, Brendon's been around for 10 years, really big in the personal development and marketing space on YouTube, has millions of followers, has millions of people who have been listening to his stuff, is like one of the most successful people in that space. But what's really interesting about this book is he wrote it in a very different way. He wrote it in a way that almost reminds me of something you might have read like 100 years ago, like a Think and Grow Rich. And when you listen to it, because I listen to most of my books, I prefer audio. When you listen to it, what I found is the more times that I listen to it, the more information that I get, that you get something different every time. And I like to just throw this stuff on when I'm in the car or maybe I'm doing a workout. You know, I don't always listen to the same book over and over again, but this is one that I've listened to twice through so far. And it's just little reminders, little things that when you're having a day where you feel like you hit a wall and you hear that little thing, and you're like, you know what? That really applies to what I'm dealing with right now. That really applies to, you know, the fact that, you know, we just let some people go on my team and okay, well, that's a lesson that I can apply to that. And so I took a lot from that book.
Another question here for you. And this is something I'm always curious to learn from others. What is your daily routine like? Because I notice when I have a really good daily routine, my productivity skyrockets.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you're probably a daily routine guy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel so much better when I do it. And I'm human like everyone else. I don't always do all the things on my list, but I have my four M's, which I've kind of coined. And so that is every day when I wake up, I want to do, listen to some mindset type stuff. Maybe that's a book. Maybe that's a video, something that I'm going to be growing my mind, right? I'm going to be adding some good positive words in there. Somebody's going to be saying something that's going to help remind me about where I want to go and what I'm doing.
And let me interrupt you there. And that's just like while you're having your coffee and breakfast in the morning, is that just like a 10, 20 minute type thing while you're doing other stuff, waking up?
Yeah, it could be as long as you want to make it. But for me, I commit to myself 10 minutes of each of these things.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll shorten them if needed because the day is busy. Sometimes I'll lengthen it to like a whole hour for this whole little routine. But yeah, you know, you're throwing on coffee, you're getting the shower turned on. Heck, I might even be jumping in the shower and I just, you know, have my phone playing that there. I'm listening to this stuff, right? It's different every day. Maybe it's, you know, an author. You could just literally throw on YouTube. There's so much great content on there that you know, can really be uplifting, kind of get you in the right mind space. But then I do some movement.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll typically go for a 10, 15 minute run at minimum, some stretching. Sometimes I'll do an hour run. It depends on the day and what I have ahead of me. Could be a full workout, whatever that is. So my mindset, some movement. I do meditation nearly every single day. When I don't, I notice a difference. It's like each of these things, when I don't do, I feel it, but I don't always feel it right away. I feel like 2 or 3 days later when I'm like, oh wow, I haven't been doing that lately. I should really get back to that because I felt like $1 million. And then the final thing, which I think is really important, is, you know, I map my day. So every Sunday night, I plan out my week. What are the important things that I have to do that week? What are the important things that I have to get done that if I only got those things done, then the week would be a win? And then each day I do essentially the same thing. I have my two or three main things. And that main thing could be as small as sending an email. If that's really that important, that could really move the needle. Or it could be, you know, something like a podcast interview I have to do, or somebody, you know, I have to call, or somebody I have to work with, something I have to work on. It could be anything in between, but I get those written down and then I prioritize them in what order I'm going to do those that day. And, you know, stuff comes up, we're pretty reactive, but I try to schedule that onto my calendar so I make sure I actually do it. Because when I actually do accomplish those three things or those four things or those one thing, I cross that off, I feel like my day was accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, like most business owners, there's a million things to do. You have a million emails. You're reacting to everyone else's stuff. And you get to the end of the day and you're like, what the heck did I even accomplish today? I feel like today was a waste.
Yeah, you answered 300 emails.
Yeah, but you were responding to everybody all day instead of just, you know, being intentional.
I think I agree with that 100%. That's such an important thing. So kind of a random question here, but what do you use for like your personal planning or task management? Are you a paper guy? Do you have a suite of apps? I'm always curious how people operate on these things.
Yeah, so I've tried it all and none of it works unless I work it, right? And so I'm not the most organized person. I'm definitely a sales guy at heart, right? I want to connect with people, I want to talk to people, but I know that I have to keep track of this stuff. And so what I do is a combination of things. I plan my whole week on paper so that I can have it right in front of me and I can write it down and I bring it everywhere. Like I have it in my bag. It's just a printed off little paper. And I got Monday through Sunday kind of sectioned out on that paper. And I write down those little things, those two or three things. And then, you know, as my day is going on, if important things come up, I write those things down, but I'm not going to get to them until I finish those prioritized items. But then for everything else, I just drop it into an Asana place. But right now, because of how life goes, that thing is a mess. I've got all of these tasks in there that I haven't looked at in a while, but what I'll do is like once a month, Should be once a week, but once a month I'll go through and I'll kind of comb through and delete a bunch of stuff that isn't important that maybe actually did get accomplished. And then I'll have, you know, new things that I might want to do that are getting me closer to whatever those goals are, whatever those main things that I've set for the quarter or for the month or for the year that I have to accomplish. You know, I'm reviewing those every single day. And so when I'm looking at that, I'm seeing, okay, these specific actions are getting me closer to there. It's easier for me to say no to all the other stuff that seems important, but isn't.
I can relate to, I've used Asana, which is an online project management system. It's a really good one. And I use something else, but yeah, you don't look at it like, well, I got 32 overdue tasks on there. Guess they weren't that important.
Yeah.
But you go exactly. on there, I do the same thing. I go from daily to weekly to about once a month going through it.
I tried doing the digital thing and I love it because I'm working remote for many years. I have an office in Denver now and I love that. But what I found was I would be consistent with it inconsistently. Yeah. And it would work great until I missed like a day or 2 days. And then all of a sudden everything piles up and none of the due dates matter because everything's overdue. And then it's like a cluster trying to get back to it. And so just having those, you know, two or three main things every day really was a game changer.
That's basically what I've boiled my stuff down to as well. All right, last question for you, Stephen. This is one of my favorite questions to ask people. Is if you could go back and give your younger self advice as, you know, after you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, when you were, what you said, 17 or 18 or something, go back and give your younger self advice, what would that advice be?
It would be just start. It would be just go and find a way to make it happen right now. All the things that I did in between there definitely helped lead me to where I'm at today. However, if I would have just gone and done the exact same thing that I did 3 years ago, I'd be so much farther, right? Mm-hmm. I would have started in this field so much earlier. And so I think the biggest advice is just go and do it. Just get started, right? There's so many reasons not to do it, but what's the one reason that you should?
I like that. All right. So I know you run the Investor Mindset podcast, and reminder saying of it, because I've listened to two episodes, is you just interview people and you really dive into all the mindset stuff. A lot of stuff we've discussed about, but you break down what people do to become successful. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So what the investor mindset is really about, it's personal growth for real estate investors. And the content is not the nuts and bolts of real estate. You can find that many other places. You can get into how to do direct mail marketing elsewhere. However, what we do is we have the conversations most of these big, successful, well-known investors haven't shared elsewhere. How do they think? How do they think about success? How do they deal with challenge? How do they deal with failure? So that we can understand that. And so we can model the way that they think so we can have the same kind of results that they have. And so it's been a lot of fun. We've been growing like crazy. We've been on the front page of iTunes for multiple weeks on and off, you know, from the main category all the way down to business, investing, self-help. You know, the whole gamut. And it's been really cool. And I really encourage people to go check it out if they haven't. Also head to theinvestormindset.com and join the Insider Club for some behind the scenes type footage and some announcements that are going to be coming up about the Investor Mindset Summit that we're going to be diving into all of those concepts that are really near and dear to my heart, interviewing some incredible speakers and really laying that foundation so that no matter what you're trying to do, you've got the right mindset to go and do it.
Outstanding. I'm assuming if people just go into their podcasting app and type in Investor Mindset, it'll pop up, right?
Boom, right at the top.
Love it. All right, Stephen, thank you so much, man. This was fun.
Thank you. It was fun as well.